In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may the power of the real, living God touch us all in this moment at the same time, in a different way, uniquely, specifically, for exactly what we need. Only you can do that. Only the power of faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the gospel, the good news of our God can provide that kind of powerful, specific answer, healing, peace for each one of us at the same time in all different ways. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the testimony of faith that Paul and Margie McChesney have led their family in. May we take up the responsibility to pursue that prize as they did, to walk that journey. We pray for Uncle Lorne Levering right now. Paul's passing was hard on the brothers of the Levering family. Lord Jesus, may they sense the presence of the living God in their lives this morning. May you draw them to yourself. We thank you for Patty Lou's dedication to you, to her church, to her family, to her husband. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be with Bob and Nancy Smith in a powerful, real way, and the understanding that their God provides all healing and all resources at all times when they need it, and you do it best, and you do all things well. Now, Lord Jesus, as your church continues to worship, may this understanding that we crave you, that we desire you, that we pursue you, that we go hard into you, may that overwhelm us, Lord Jesus, with your love, grace, and mercy. And the people of Gilead said, amen. Amen and amen.
Now, John, what am I supposed to say after that song? I think that was my Grandma Margaret's favorite song. And, you know, it reminded me, that was fun. Good job, guys. It reminded me of when Keith Green, some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. Keith Green, one of the first contemporary Christian musicians, said, "Why should the devil get all the good music?" See, because I'm a 1970s rocker, right, Kenny? I thought that was a little bit too Beatles-esque, though. Yeah, you might need to put a little Eagles or, you know, Van Halen spin on that next time or something. Are you going to do that at the fair? Seriously? Are you going to do it at the fair?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So isn't that going to be a great fair song? You guys got to come down and hear that.
29th.
On the small stage, it will become the big stage because God's there.
He's good.
All the time. Praise God. I tell you what, this is church. Is church allowed to be fun? Well, so half of you think so. Now, one thing I know also, you know, just talking about things that are on the edge, you know, Facebook, I've told you for years, is of the devil. Now, you know that. So some of the newer folks thought I was being serious there. And so I'm not on it, only because I can't respond like you guys can respond all day on that. I just don't have time for it. So I thought surely I would get out of this ice bucket ALS challenge because I'm not on Facebook. But my young disciple, Levi Redder, made sure that I didn't escape it. So after church, in the front, if you want to see your pastor get soaked, I watched Bobby's last night. That was interesting. You're welcome to hang around for that event. I decided I was going to do it really, really right. You know, I was going to get my skid loader with a bucket full of ice and do it, but Eric Church did that, so I'm not going to copy it. Now, church, God is good. Amen. And all the time, God is good. And turn to Philippians 3. Make sure you have it in. You have it marked, Philippians 3. We're going to look at verse 12. We're going to go a little further than 12, probably through 15 today. This ALS challenge is kind of unbelievable what's happened with that. And it's good. Praise God for it. But I want us to look at that in light of our pursuit of Christ. So my question right from the outset for you this morning in the moments we have together, my question to you to lay on your hearts, to lay on my heart, to lay on us all as a church together, must we pursue our God and his kingdom and the people that so desperately need him, the way this challenge has swept the country and the world? And it's good. It's a good thing. Oh, is it God's tool to eradicate a disease that is so devastating? But what about the kingdom of God in general? What about our pursuit of him as our precious Lord and Savior and what he's done? Guys, you can take that image off the screen. It's probably distracting. So, you know, I just want us this morning, just for a moment or two, to collectively ask the question, to just let God rip our heart, rip us apart this morning, that we would pursue him with everything we have, with everything we've got. You know, I'm just struck by this challenge that's sweeping the nation and the good it's doing. And yesterday it's like a continuation this week of just the power of God. The power of God in all these different ways. Just example after example. The power of God in our school systems, you know, our teachers who are empowered with the teaching gift of God Almighty, and what that's going to do in our community, and certainly at our Christian school. The testimony of the memorial service yesterday. You know, I saw grandsons get up who don't like to speak in front of people. Anybody like that? How about I have you all come up one at a time and give a part of the message today? George is ready. One guy, one man ready to tease it. Thank you, Georgie. But these three grandsons got up, and they were funny, and then they ripped our hearts out at the same moment. And they said they had a family curse. It's not a curse. They all cry when anything's sensitive to their hearts. Oh, church. Now, I'm not saying that all of us have to shed tears every time we sense the grace of Jesus, because we're not all made the same way, but at least on the inside, our hearts ought to be ripped to shreds when we are found in the presence of our God. Oh, to be like the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos when he's taken into third heaven, to be like Isaiah when he saw the vision of the Lord high and lifted up in the temple and realized he was a man of unclean lips, and he was ripped apart from the inside. And then God said, oh, don't worry. I've got you. Nobody can take you from me. I've got you. Oh, so then what do we do, church? When we realize that God's got us? In Sunday school, I said, does that mean we got our get out of fire card and we keep it in our wallet so, you know, we don't have to burn in for eternity, and then we just coast? And we certainly keep it in our wallet so nobody would know that we're a Christian. Can't have that. No, that's not how God describes his relationship with us at all, is it? So we look at Philippians 3 and we look at verse 12 and we see why Moses was physically changed. Remember when Moses was physically changed in the presence of God? His hair became white. He scared the people half to death coming down from that mountain. That'd be like, you know, who has really dark, beautiful hair out there? Maybe Lauren. Oh no, it's getting grayer, isn't it, Lauren? I'm sorry. See, I always think of Lauren as 30 years old with dark, beautiful, wavy, long hair down to his, like you were in Florida, down when your hair was down to your shoulders in Florida. Well, Kenny's, look at Kenny's. His is dark. Still dark and beautiful, wavy hair. And Brad's. Just, can you imagine these guys? You guys are out of order, I want you to know. Kent and Jeff, they have a slightly different, you know, Charles Robinson used to say, if you want to use your hormones for hair, it's fine. I'll use mine for what I want to use them for. And he said that in church. And so, and he was bold. They called you cheaters, by the way, is what they said. So you heard that. You know, I sense us believers that we speak it, we walk it, but do we know it? Do we know the God that we speak of? Do we know Him? In Sunday school class, we were talking about this, you know, the difference between Christian coasting, you know, just getting out on this I-71, and the parallel's not good right now through the construction zone, but, you know, on a super high, when it's finished, when you go from, you know, Mount Gilead to Mansfield, there's three lanes on each side, and it's pretty clear, and you can just fly at 70 only, and you're just flying through there. And it reminds me of our walk with Christ when once we become a Christian, we can just get on that super highway of the American dream and just coast. Just set it on cruise. But if we really know our Lord and Savior the way we say we know our Lord and Savior, there'll be this absolutely awe, this pursuit of God on a daily basis. I want to know Him more. Don't you want to know Him more? Don't you want to know this God that has come from the throne room of heaven and didn't consider equality with God so above us that He wouldn't let go of it? But He did. And He came down and He veiled His glory and He died on this cross at Salem. I love the cross, Billy. Philip, I just love that cross. It was made out of probably the old church's beams, and it was the old rough-hewn logs. And I keep saying, I'm going to go over to this cross on one of those lifts someday, and I'm going to put notches and holes and blood on it so that we really understand it. Jesus came, God, from eternity past to eternity future. Who was and is to come, who is everywhere all at the same time, who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-merciful, perfect in judgment, perfect in grace, perfect in mercy, perfect in discipline. He came and took your place. He took your place on that cross. Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? And I think in America, that's what we wrestle with. It's so much easier just to get on the Christian superhighway and set it on 70 and cruise. And Paul says, oh no, don't you dare. Don't you dare, church in Philippi, my beloved church, my awesome church, the people I love. It's like when Wayne Evans or Chris Jackson comes to Gilead or John Williams, they come to Gilead and they say, church, I love you, Gilead. Gilead, I love you. You're precious to me. We've been through a lot together. You're my people. You were planted in 1824, and now you're alive today, and you've been handed the ministry of reconciliation. It's in your hands. It's like those guys coming to us and saying this, don't you dare coast. I didn't. Paul's saying, I didn't. I'm not. Pick it up in 12 and stand with me. Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ too has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. See, none of this works unless it's in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature, I look out in this audience, and for the most part, I see mature Christians. I see some newer Christians, and thank God that we have young Christians and Praise God. People coming every week, brand new. Praise God. But I see a lot of mature Christians. All of us who are mature, nobody wants to be called that. It's better than being called old. We should take view of these things. And if on some point you think different, God will clear that up for you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Paul's in prison. He's about died, I don't know how many times. You think he lived up to it? And he's saying it to himself. I've not got it. I don't got it. I've not been made perfect. But let us live up to what we already know. And then keep pressing on. Lord Jesus, bless us together in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, why would we press on? We're going to spend our time really in 12, mostly 12, 12, 13, 12, 13, and 14. This is where we're going to spend our time this morning. You know, why? Why do we go hard into Christ? It's the best way I know how to describe this. It's like, you know, that pressing on, sometimes we can't get the real feeling of what Paul was using in Greek there. I mean, it's this going hard. It's the straining forward. It's with everything that I've got within me. We talked a little bit about that, and whether it's swimming or football or soccer. You know, we got a couple young boys that are in soccer over in Pleasant, Jeff and Brenda's kids, and I love soccer. You know, I grew up under Jeff's coaching, and they got some really cool games coming up. Some of us guys may go get to see them. That's really cool. But I remember when Jeff was coaching my boys, and it's like, you don't stop. You don't stop. What do you stop? You can't stop moving in soccer. You stop moving, you're done. Somebody just beat you. Somebody just won the ball. Somebody just got by. You don't stop. You don't stop, church. We don't stop. We don't set it on cruise control in our faith. We can't do that. People are dying without Christ in our world. Now, we know that God brings the increase. We know that we don't have the guilt of human souls on our hands. It's not our job. It's not up to us. If it was, we'd fail miserably. Good thing it's God's job. But he has chosen you. Make your mind smoke a little bit. The God of the universe chose you, chose me to represent him, and you're going to coast? You're going to put it on cruise control in your Christianity and just coast through life? Well, knowing that that God who did that for you and me chose us? I don't think so. John Piper says, I pity that man. I pity that person who understands the verse that we just read that says, God's got a hold of you. I love the way he did this in a video, and he had his hand on the nap of his own neck like this. He said, when God, just because God's got you, you don't want to grab hold of him more? He says, I pity that person that doesn't understand that our God loved us so much. This is kind of strange, but for some reason, God just put Frank Barton in my head. He's down at Riverside. Is that right still, guys? He's down at Riverside with a blood clot moved from his lower leg up to his, above his knee, and that's not a good thing. So just, would you just continue to pray for Frank and Rita? Frank and Rita, Tim's mama, stepdad. We go hard into Jesus Christ. We go hard into him. Why? Why do we pursue him with everything we've got? Why church, do we press on? We press on. Well, the first thing was what I just described, so that you would know him more, so that you'd really know this God. I tell you, if you spend time in his word and you read Christian classic books from Augustine to J.I. Packer to John Wesley to A.W. Tozer, you read these classic works of the historic faith, And you'll see what happened in their life, and you can translate it to your life. And you read the Word, and you know Him more, and you read other materials that are classic and wholesome, and the essentials are correct in their theology, and you will pursue Him more on your own. And then you read the Word, and you pursue Him more. And then you go into your prayer life and in your prayer closet, and you pursue Him more. And we come to church together, and we worship Him, and you pursue Him more, and you know Him more, and you know Him more, and you know Him, and you know Him. And when you know Him, you want Him. When you know Him a little bit, you want to know Him more. And when you know Him a lot, you've only just begun. And when you think you really, really know your Lord and Savior, you find you know nothing, and you want more, and you crave Him greater, and you want to go deeper, and you want to go longer in serving Him. And you want to have a wider influence, and your desire grows, and you want to know Him more and more. The second reason we go hard into Christ is because we need Him. All the hands go up quickly. All those of you are perfect. I like that some of you pointed to the other person beside you, because that means you understood the message in Philippians 1 and 2, and particularly 2. Where we prefer one another over ourselves. I like that. We need Him. Do you need your God? See, when we're on cruise control, we think we don't need Him. When we're on coast mode, things are going well. Things are just fine. We think perhaps we've got it all under control. It's a dangerous place to be. Because God's got a plan for your life, and He's not going to let that plan go unfulfilled. If you're His, if He's got you, if you're His, His sovereignty will be completed on His earth. Notice I said His earth. On His earth, in His heaven. And in your life, why? Because you're His. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price, and you need Him. Whether you think you do or not, whether I think I do or not, I need Him desperately. Every day, every hour, every moment, every second, every breath, every thought, every decision, every move we make, we need Him. So I'm going to ask Sarah, I think she's over here. Where is my Sarah? There she is. Sarah and one of her good friends are going to come up here. You'll know what I mean when I say that. I'm going to grab this chair. What was that, water again? Evidently, it's the day for water again. And Sarah is going to describe for us a little bit this journey into God with her testimony.
Good morning. In 1983, I came into the world as a healthy baby girl, weighing just over 7 pounds and measuring 21 inches long. I continued to grow and seemed to be a typical little girl until about the age of 4, when I began crying and complaining that my left knee hurt and I started walking with a limp. After a number of trips to doctors and having tests, the cause of my pain was finally identified. I had a mass in my left leg from my thigh bone down to the middle of my shin, and a much larger mass in my chest, occupying most of my chest and most of my abdominal region. I was referred to Columbus Children's Hospital, where I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Children's Hospital, along with the cooperation of the James Cancer Research Hospital, started me on an experimental treatment regimen using both chemo and radiation therapies. Thankfully, it was successful, and I went into remission after about 18 months of treatment. I had been in remission for about 9 months, when at the age of 6, I was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or ALL. Chemotherapy was the treatment of choice, and I had been on it for about 3 years when I went into remission once again. In 1993, at the age of 10, I chose to make an outward demonstration of my inward commitment to Christ and was baptized. Despite the difficulties of cancer and its treatments, I had been able to start kindergarten at the age of 5 and continued through school with my class. Another scare arose my sophomore year of high school when I began having difficulty swallowing and a tumor was discovered in the right lobe of my thyroid. I had a partial thyroidectomy, and thankfully the biopsy came back benign, so other than taking a pill for the rest of my life, no additional treatment was needed. As a result, I was able to graduate with my class in 2001 at the age of 18. In 2004, 3 days after being in a motor vehicle accident, I began having severe abdominal pain, which doctors assumed was due to damage from the seatbelt, and ordered tests that led to the discovery of a tumor in my left kidney. I was referred to Riverside Methodist Hospital for laparoscopic surgery, where they removed my kidney and adrenal gland. The biopsy came back malignant with a diagnosis of renal cell adenocarcinoma. It turned out that the pain was caused by a place in my back being out of alignment and had absolutely nothing to do with the cancer. So the accident was a miracle in disguise, because renal cell carcinoma rarely exhibits any signs or symptoms until it is advanced. But mine was caught early, so no further treatment was needed. 4 years later, at the age of 25, I started experiencing difficulty swallowing, and an MRI led to the discovery of a tumor in the left lobe of my thyroid. I was referred to the James Cancer Hospital, where I had a completion thyroidectomy. This time, the biopsy came back malignant, and the diagnosis was papillary carcinoma of the thyroid. But thankfully, margins were clear, and my entire thyroid was now gone, so no further treatment was needed. Throughout the process of fighting cancer, I've definitely had my ups and downs, and there were times when my doctors here on Earth did not think that I would survive. But despite what some doctors may seem to think, they do not know everything. They did not understand the power of prayer and God's will. I had people all across the country praying for me. Even now, I may have someone come up to me and introduce themselves and tell me that they've been praying for me since I was little. There is only one doctor that knows everything, and that is God. God showed the doctors that he knew what he was doing, he had further plans for me, and he was in control, not them. I am now 31 years young, and while I have continued to battle different medical issues throughout my life, I know that I would not be here if it was not for the medical professionals, the love and support of my family, my friends, this community, and most importantly, for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13 reads, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. While I may not always understand and agree with God's plan, nor his timing, I remind myself that God is in control. He knows what he is doing, and with God, all things are possible. May God bless each and every one of you. And I hope you have a great week.
You stay right there, man. A couple of people that are close by here on Patty and Barb, John, and Paula. We're going to pray over this. Mom and Dad, you're willing to. You're certainly welcome to come running up here. I just wondered, any of you have anything to complain about this morning? You know, this is one of our precious girls. She quietly serves the Lord. She sends out emails. She texts. She calls people. She texts me. We've got a pretty good texting relationship.
That's a dog and a half, let me tell you.
That's a seizure dog, by the way. Did you see she just barely said something to him and he just put his head right down? You're not supposed to be petting him or anything unless he's on free. So you can look at him, but don't be petting him or anything later. What's the name again?
Bo.
Bo, okay. We're going to pray. Sarah's got some things happening right now, too. She's got to go to Cleveland Clinic about an infection thing happening. So we're going to pray for the miraculous touch of God on her life. And her testimony was really clear. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of what I think, regardless sometimes of what I think God ought to do, I serve the Lord in the face of all things. But we do know that God can miraculously touch. He's demonstrated in our midst, in the Word of God, in our lives. So we're going to ask him to do his will. And we're praying that ours is in alignment with his for a miraculous touch. Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we most importantly and premier thinking in our heart and praise is praise for you, for this testimony, for who you are, just for who you are. But nevertheless, you've told us to come to you and pray. You said, this is the channel to communicate with me your need. So may the great physician, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus Christ, heal our dear sister, Sarah Brenneman. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we give you praise, honor, and glory. May it all be done according to your will, in Jesus' name. Powerful testimony. So when we speak of, I'm not perfect, when we speak of our imperfection in Christ and our need of him, I just felt strongly that Sarah's testimony would clear a few issues up in our own minds. Do you need your God? Oh, church, do we need him? I'm telling you, I could parade almost, it'd be countless. It'd be endless. The parade we could have to the microphone that would say, there was a point in my life when I wasn't sure how desperate I needed him until that day. And then it all came clear. We're imperfect. When Paul says it so clearly, not that I'm perfect. Or in other words, not that I've completed my journey. I haven't completed my journey. I mean, Paul went through, what an example he is. Sarah, what an example you are to us. We haven't completed our journey, church. We need him. We need him. So we go hard into Christ to know him. When you know him, you realize how much you need him. And when you realize how much you need him, you want to know him more. And when you know him more, you realize how much you need him. And when you realize how much you need him, you want to know him more. And then we come to that amazing revelation in Paul's wording in this verse, and then it's in the first part of that 12th verse, and it says, Christ took hold of me. We realize that when we read this incredible verse and passage, that it's because he has made us his own that we want to grab hold of him, because he's made us his own. Do we understand what that means? You have a new name. We have all kinds of last names in here. Yesterday we celebrated the good in the McChesney heritage.
There's good in all of our names. There is good, but it's not ultimate good. Some of you like to talk about the bad parts of your family name. You joke around about it and laugh about it, and that's okay. You know, we all have our little quirks. But that brings us to the beauty of our new name. Jesus is written on your forehead. Now, that's not idolatry, because he's the only God that exists. If you're going to get a tattoo, make sure you get that one. See, when we come to perfection, when we come to perfection in that day, when we see Jesus face to face, we will realize that that's the only tattoo that matters. And I don't think it'll be a tattoo. It's going to be a light so bright. It's going to be a name so great. Oh, we got it. We know it. We see it a little bit. We catch a glimpse of it. We've tasted it, and we know that it's good. Don't you want more? But see, you're not supposed to just coast until that day. God says, I want more of you. I want more of you. And the only way for him to get more of you is for you to get more of him. It's this two-way superhighway that is guided by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the entrance ramp is prayer. And the exit ramp is heaven. But there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And he wants you to go hard into him. And there's three things about that I want to highlight to you. I was reading this book, and so I wrote these notes at the last minute, and there was a white space in the book. And so these three things stirred my heart about the other three things. What's the three points were? To know him. We go hard into Christ. We pursue him. We strive in him to know him because we need him. And three, because he has made us his own. Those were your three points today. I know you didn't get them. That's okay. Call me. I'll text them to you. But the three things that are under that is that he doesn't want us to settle. He doesn't want his people to settle and be satisfied. You know, we talked about that verse last week in Psalms where it says, as the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul thirsts after you. Remember the image I gave you on that? That's not a little cutesy picture at Lifeway Bookstore with Bambi, you know, lapping up some creek water. The imagery there is of a animal that God created who's so emaciated and so dying of thirst that the water brook appears in a wilderness, in a wasteland. The imagery of the wording of that verse, and is satisfied and is restored. Only God can do that for you and me. Only God can satisfy. And he doesn't want us to settle for anything less. He doesn't want our church to settle for anything but more and more of him by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of prayer, through the truth of his word, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't want you to forget. Well, what did Paul say in this section? Forgetting what's behind. But he doesn't want you to forget him. Oh, forget what's behind you, but don't forget him. Forget what your past has been, yes. Forget that sin. He doesn't remember. He chooses not to hold that against you. It's not that God can't remember, by the way. And there isn't anything that surprises him. But don't bring up the past. That's settled. Don't waste time thinking you're not worthy, because you're not. But by Christ's blood, he's made you. He's pulled you up. This is my guy imagery. It's not scriptural. But you know when us guys, we lost the race. And some of you gals can relate to this in a different way. You know, when your self-esteem has been crushed, your emotions have been crushed. For us guys, it's usually our pride that gets hurt. We've lost the race. We got fired at work. Whatever the case may be. And you're downcast, and you're about to
you're about to hit the floor, and you're just. I remember when if I lost a race, which wasn't very often. Kidding, wasn't very often until you got to regionals or beyond. Then you, wow, there's people that can really run. I'm no good at all. So, you know, when we lose, though, in life, it's like somebody just goes, you know, and you're just. And sometimes you just, you know, whether that's physically, and sometimes it is physical, that your emotions and your physical well-being match. The picture I got as a guy is that righteous right hand of God just going, don't you stay there. You're mine. I've got hold of you. Don't you stay there. It's okay to pour your heart out, right? It's okay to pour your heart out at the altar, at the foot of Christ. Absolutely. It's okay to have those real feelings of devastation when something happens that is so absolutely that it hurtful or devastating in the natural that it just lays you prostrate on your face. Good. But don't stay there. And that's where the church comes in. That's where the body of Christ comes in. And through the power of prayer, through the brother and sisterhood of the church of Jesus Christ, but most importantly, through the power of God himself, through the sacrifice of his blood, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit, he grabs a hold of us either by the back of the shirt or by the front and says, stand up and stand firm with the full armor of God about you. And having done it all things to stand, stand. Because I've got you. Yesterday, a couple of the boys had a hard time standing at the end of that service. When your daddy's in heaven and you're expecting him to drive up on the gator and say, why are you doing that? And so other people held him up. Other people got under their arms and said, I'm praying for you. I've got you. When they say that, when we say that for each other, it's not us. It's not my strength. It's not my power. It's not by my flesh. But it's by the power of the Spirit that we've got each other. And God's got us. Don't settle. Forget the garbage of the past, but don't forget who's got you. And then, in closing, we're to strain forward to take hold of that prize for which Christ has beckoned us onward. I get all the different versions all mixed up when I quote Scripture, if you've noticed that. I quote a little bit of King James, a little NIV, and a little bit of the Message all in one. So you know which verse I'm at right there when Paul says in the tail end of this passage, I press hold to take hold of the prize which Christ has called me forward to, or pulled me forward to. So when we strain ahead, when we go hard into Christ, when we pursue him with everything we've got, when we look at who he is and what he's done, we would desire from the innermost parts of our being to press on. Press on. Sarah, are you going to press on? I don't know if I saw Brother Jim Bailey, but he guess he's here. You going to press on, brother? It's not easy, is it? Phil, you going to press on? If you want to know what it means to press on, talk to one of them. And they'll say, I don't know. I don't know how I do it. I put one foot in front of the other, and I take hold of the person who's got hold of me, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I look at the cross for which Christ has beckoned me onward, for that prize that's coming, but I'm not going to settle for just coasting on the superhighway of Christianity. I'm going to speed headlong. It's the only time you can speed. It's the only time you're allowed. I'm going to put the throttle down. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. I'm going to swim with everything I've got. I'm going to run with all I've got. I'm going to
beat my body into submission. In other words, be healthy. That's what Paul meant by that. I want to be healthy that I may serve God more and more and more. Stand. Precious Lord Jesus, you've met us today, as you do every day. Bless Sarah for giving her testimony. Lord Jesus, uphold her, strengthen her, let her know that it was powerful and it was perfect only because of your spirit within her. Lord Jesus, would you wrap your arms around us? Would you give us your grace and your mercy? Would you, Lord Jesus, challenge us to strive, to go hard into you? Would you, Lord Jesus, give us the fruit of the Spirit that people will know that we're Christians by our love? Would you empower us with the gifts of the Spirit? So whether we're in a foreign country and we need to be able to speak their language, or whether we're in this place and this time and we need to be transparent and disciple and teach and help, Lord Jesus, may the power of your Spirit go with us. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, the people of Gilead said, amen.